My welcome to those of you. If you're new here this morning, you've stepped in on a special service. You've probably realised, oh, wow, I didn't realise. But hey, even if you're new, wouldn't it be great if this today is just the first of your steps on this journey as we continue on as a church? Speaking of taking steps, is anyone here like hiking? There's a couple of hands. I'm not a hiker. I can't understand why people hike or camp, by the way. It's cold, it's inconvenient, there's plenty of perfectly good footpaths around the city. But nonetheless, a few years ago, our family and I, we decided let's go and have a look at Castle Rock in Porongurup National Park. I don't know if you've been there. It's basically a massive, huge granite rock, and it sits on top a really, really high hill. It's basically a mountain. And so we're hiking. I climbed it without oxygen, thank goodness. But anyway, and so we're hiking up this hill. And as you're hiking up the hill, you just, well, I am anyway, just focusing on my feet, just, okay, just take another step. Just one step at a time, one foot in front of the other. But then, eventually, after many hours, there is a clearing in the trees and you kind of get to the plateau where the actual Castle Rock is, which you then further have to climb again. But anyway, but you look and you have that moment where you kind of, you know, you take a breath and you look around and you see all of a sudden the landscape of where you've been. And you go, goodness, is that a red dot in the distance? Is that the car? How far we've come. You know, life's a bit like that, isn't it? You know, you go through the rhythms week by week. Whisper it. Sometimes church life can be a bit like that. It's been a busy weekend, let me tell you. But it's kind of, you know, there can be times where it's just like one foot in front of the other. Maybe you are in a season of life right now where it just feels like one foot in front of the other. But this morning, what we get to do is we get to have that little moment to pause, take a breath and go, wow, look how far. Look how far we've come. Or look how far God has brought us, as John Newton said in his wonderful hymn. Wasn't that amazing? He has brought us safe thus far. Look how far we've come. How are we going to do that this morning in the next few minutes? We're going to do three things. We're going to celebrate God's faithfulness. You really want me to pop this, don't you? Yeah, well, you'll have to get Connie's permission for that. We're going to focus, that's the biggest magnifying glass I could find, focus on who we are now, our identity, and we are going to look into the future, get a vision of where God might be leading us. We're going to do those three things. So, first of all, we celebrate God's faithfulness. God has been incredibly faithful to this church, as you've seen on the photos there. We're the story of two churches becoming one. One part of our story stretches back 100 years, the other part 80 years. And as we mentioned a few weeks ago, the first communion service of Inglewood Church of Christ was held in 1926. In the mid-1930s, they began a Sunday school and they partnered with the Kindergarten Union to build a multi-purpose hall, which was completed in 1945. Just 1 year later, on the other side of the ledger, Bedford Baptist Church was planted out of Maylands Baptist with just 19 members. And they built their church on Beaufort Street in 1963. They planted Beach Baptist in 1988. And as Manny reminded us last week, they helped establish the English-speaking congregation of the Romanian Baptist Church in 1995. And then a new significant chapter happened in October 2008. Inglewood Church of Christ and Bedford Baptist officially came together to form Inglewood Community Church. The 6th Avenue property was sold in 2012, and this Cleveland Street property was purchased later that same year in 2013. And meanwhile, the old Bedford Baptist site was sold, much to Manny's disappointment when he drove past it. After a season of preparation, this church was finally able to move into this building in 2014. Can you believe this used to be a battery factory? You know these concrete seams here that you see on the floor? Have you ever wondered what they were? They were the chemical channels for the battery acid. It's all right, they've been decommissioned. When you look back over our history, there's so much to be thankful for. Generation after generation, new ministries, new buildings, church plants, and even the coming together of two congregations, God has been faithful. And that's exactly where Psalm 100 begins, not by asking us to focus on ourselves, but by calling us to remember and celebrate the faithfulness of God. Psalm 100 verses 3 to 5, I like this. It says, "Know that the Lord is good. It is He who made us and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates," or roller door, "with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good." Do you believe that? "For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." It's a short psalm, but it's beautifully structured. I love the grammar of it. Psalm 100 is built around two pairs of imperatives followed by the reasons for obeying them. Imperatives is like another word for instructions or a command. And the two imperatives are this: know Him, praise Him. Know Him, praise Him. Those are the commands. And the psalmist tells us why. It is one of the oldest worship songs in the Bible. Did you know that? And the poet, he grabs us by the sleeve and says, look, take time. Take time out to worship the Lord. But biblical worship is never blind worship. It's never because, you know, He's probably good. Every command is backed by evidence. He made us. We are His. We are His people. He is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. There are reasons given. And the evidence builds and builds and builds to one unshakable conclusion. The Lord is God and the Lord is good. The Lord is good. That's why we can celebrate here at Inglewood Community Church. We have so many years, 100 of them, as evidence that point to an unmistakable conclusion. We see, we can trace the hand of God at work through generations of faithful people, church plants, mergers, moves, and new beginnings. God has remained faithful. And when you can see God's fingerprints over 100 years of history, I think that's something worth celebrating. It's worth celebrating because we're not patting ourselves on the back. We're praising God. We're saying, wow, He's been so faithful, which leads us from who we've been to who we are, to the magnifying glass. If you've been here over the last few weeks, in fact, the few months actually, you'll know that we've been spending a lot of time talking about our identity. We have released a purpose statement that we debuted at the beginning of this year. We've been working on a new logo and color palette. We've received your feedback. Thank you for that. And now we've got round two that the design team are working on, and I'm really excited by those designs. And we're refreshing the way that we present ourselves and be a presence in our community. But you know what? The church's identity is more than just a polished vision statement and a slick social media campaign, right? It really is. And that's so important. And the reason why that's important is because the churches, we don't invent our identity. We receive it. We receive it. And it's the same individually as well. Our identity is not something we create. It's something that we receive. Hallelujah. Because creating your identity is exhausting. It's exhausting. Jesus tells us who we are. And Matthew 5, 13 to 16 says this: "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl? Instead, they put it up on the stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, these words were originally spoken to those who had bothered to hike with Jesus. It's called the Sermon on the Mount because that's where it is. Well, I suppose you'd say a really big hill outside Jerusalem. But it's for the people who have bothered to be climbing companions of Jesus. I like how Eugene Peterson begins this chapter in his Message translation, and when Jesus had gotten to the place, he turned around to his climbing companions and said, "Are you a climbing companion of Jesus?" I hope so. I hope so. Even if it's just one foot in front of the other. And within the wider scope of Matthew's gospel, where Jesus functions as the greater Moses, Matthew is the most Jewish, if you like, of all the gospels. He invites his climbing companions, unlike, because Moses goes up the mountain by himself, doesn't he? But Jesus says, come with me. He invites his companions up the mountain into a conversation with God, and then much to their shock and amazement, he turns around, sits down and starts speaking. They realize, oh my goodness, he's been dwelling with us all the time as the incarnate Christ. What does he say? What does he say? He has no instructions for us. There is no imperative. He does not say, this is who you must be. This is what I want you to do. He says, you are. You are. Umes esti. You are. Present. Active. Indicative. Present. Right now. Active. You have a role in this, listening to my words, says Jesus. Indicative, whether you like it or not, if you are paying attention to me and my word, this is who you are. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? And it's impossible to hide. So don't be a light. Just, you are already a light. Just let it shine. I like to put it this way. Remove the bowl. Pull back the curtains. Get up on the stand. Tell them. Two people. Here's person A says, I've been reading the Bible and you should be a Christian. Person B says, I want to tell you something. I've been reading the Bible. I've become a Christian. I love Jesus. He is the reason why my life is different now. Which one's more compelling? Yeah. B, remove the bowl. Be who you are. You don't build your identity, you receive it. So receive it. Receive it. Because once we have received a new identity, we can receive a new vision. Time for the binoculars. We look to the future. We, this is great news, friends, we have been placed here as agents, as a light of Christ in our community. That is who we are. And it's because that is who we are, we can receive a vision for that community. And I was thinking a lot, actually, this week about this sermon. I was reading through the history of our church. There's a Jubilee booklet, a minute book, all that sort of stuff. I was thinking about the faces of you guys sitting here on Sunday morning, thinking about what it means to be climbing companions on the spiritual hike. And I thought about what it means to have that moment, to stop, to take a breath and go, wow, look how far look how far we've come under the guidance of Christ. And as I sat there thinking about all these things, I felt the Lord remind me about a particular photograph that means a lot to me, and I want to share it with you this morning, and it's here. I want to show you this photograph because I believe it might be for this church. I don't do this very often. I took this photograph 10 years ago on a lonely afternoon traveling down a gravel road through the Philippine countryside on my way to Lucena province back in 2015. I all of a sudden became aware of how breathtaking my surroundings were. And I just had to take this photo. And it means a lot. Think about that picture as a journey, because you got two mountains there, don't you? You got one, and you can see the top of the first one on your left. Yeah. You can see the top of the first one on the left, but you can't see the top of the second one, the bigger one. And as I meditate on this photograph, you know, that first mountain, I mean, this is a long way away, so I'm sure it's a very, very big mountain, a lot bigger than Australia. In the Philippines, they have actual mountains, right? And I'm sure that first mountain would have been a scary climb at first. But then I imagine, once you reach the top of that first one, you look around, you go, wow, what an achievement. And then you can sort of coast down the other side. But as you sort of coast down that other side, you realize something, don't you? There's another mountain to conquer. There's another mountain to conquer. But this one's different. This one is concealed by cloud. What do you think's up there? I have no idea. But God does. God does. And the Lord replied in Habakkuk 2, verse 2, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. If we could maybe flash that previous picture up again. I don't know what's up the top of that mountain. You don't either, but God does. And God has the power to reveal it to his people. That's called revelation. He has the power to reveal the unknown future to his people, because he knows what's on top of that next mountain that we are to climb as a church. And as we start looking to the future with a new purpose statement, new logos, new investment, we sold Lead Street, and even putting together a unifying statement of faith, I believe that we are starting to receive some revelation as to where the Lord wants us to go as a church, to build on, yes, being welcoming, to go even further into let's proclaim it. Let's get out there. Let's share it. And we are starting to see what just might be up in that cloud and precisely which mountain he is calling us to conquer. And so, yet this morning is about that moment to go, ah, look at how far he's taken us. But then we turn and we see a new mountain. We say, Lord, show us. Show us. Show us what's up there. Are you excited to find out what's up there? I am. Show us what's up there. And I believe he's calling us to conquer that. And we, our job as a leadership team, we are to make the revelation as plain as possible, because I want our church to run with it. To run with it. And I think we should run with it, because I'm convinced that God is with us. In those times where I felt like there have been seasons or reasons to doubt, I've been compelled by Jesus' instructions in the same Sermon on the Mount to his climbing companions. He says this, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, they do not reap or store anything away in barns, and yet their heavenly Father feeds them. And yet their heavenly Father feeds them. He cares, even for birds. Are you not worth more than they? And so you can imagine my surprise when I zoomed in on what I originally thought to be an annoying tiny black speck on the camera at the dead center of the photo, directly in front of the concealed mountain peak, and I saw this. How did that bird get there? I found that amazing. This is me, like, at the most random moment, just going, I am not a photographer. That's why I'm not allowed to do photography. That's why Tracy does it. Trust me, that is a miracle. At first, I'm like, what is this black pinch zoom? Oh, my goodness. As if we needed a reminder. We're going to invite the kids out now in this moment as we're sort of between these two mountains to help blow out these candles on the cake, which shall appear momentarily. But to give them time to come out here, I thought I'd read these words from Jim McKinnon. Jim was a founding member of Bedford Baptist, and he wrote these on the 50th anniversary that was celebrated in 1995. Some people here are going to be like, man, I feel old when I hear, like, 1995, how long ago that was. But anyway, he says this, beautiful words. For the people who've preached your holy word to the people outside who've never heard, for the people who've taught our children to start to love the Lord with all their heart, for the people who've sought to feed the poor with the love of Christ from his boundless store, for the people who've prayed each day and hour that the Spirit of God might move in power, looking to the future, learning from the past, sharpening our witness for our common task. Lord, empower your people for service here below in the proclamation that all the world should know. Can we pray? Father, we thank you so much for this special day, but we understand that as much as we can take a breath and celebrate your faithfulness, and that is so important, your faithfulness over our last climb, that we, your climbing companions, are awakened to the fact that there is yet another mountain to conquer, and you are revealing to us. You are revealing to us the next adventure. We thank you, we praise you, we embrace that mission in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Now, we've also done something quite special, and that is representing Inglewood Church of Christ, we have Carol, and representing Bedford Baptist, we have Leslie. And we would like them to come out. Yeah, come on out. And you may have noticed that Eleanor has approached the piano. And that's because as we blow out these candles, we are going to actually sing Happy Birthday to us.